That's here.
I'm here, Carol.
Okay, great.
Wonderful.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order. Teresa, will you take a roll call of the school committee, please?
Sure. Jess Drango? I'll go back. Who am I? Roger Kohler?
I'm here.
Arlene Talapko?
Yes, I'm here.
Deb Fogel?
Present.
Jennifer Hibbins?
Present.
Carl Nett?
Present.
Carol Lombardo?
Present.
Jess Dranga?
Present.
Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, great. Thank you, Jess. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. We will start this meeting. I just want to say one thing. When you are going to speak, please identify yourself so we know who is speaking. And I will turn the meeting over to Eric at this point.
Okay. So bear with me a moment so I can share my screen with you. Okay. And there we go. Okay. So first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. Just to start out, just go over a couple of housekeeping items. So this meeting is being recorded. The documents are available on the district website. Please keep yourself muted, as echoes and background noises can be disruptive to everyone. Questions will be addressed after the presentation. Please use the raise the hand feature in the participant window. And when called upon, please identify who you are. And this discussion will be limited to the FY 23 budget. Okay. So again, we are talking about the FY 23 budget that covers the year starting July 1, 2022 and going through June 30, 2023. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the expenses, our revenue sources, assessment methods, enrollment, required local contribution, and the assessments. So staffing levels, the group of people keeps moving around and blocking what I'm trying to see. So our staffing levels. So we have 8.5 classroom teachers, 2 special needs teachers, 1 adjustment counselor, 3 specials teachers, 6.5 administration and principal office staff members, 10.5 paraprofessionals, and 6.5 support staff. Compensation. So there are no additional staff for FY23. All staff salary lines reflect increases to the FY22 levels per the contract, which is 2%. There are 2 teachers with column movement increases resulting from completed coursework. A portion of the paraprofessional and special needs paraprofessional compensation is being paid with state and federal grant funds, and the total salaries make up 39.2% of our budgets. Health insurance reflects a 1.98% increase over last year. Our participation ratios are staying the same. Total employee health insurance expense is $497,404, and that makes up 10.3% of our budget. Retired employees' health insurance also reflects the same increase of 1.98%, brings that total expense to $168,922, and that makes up 3.5% of our budget. Next is tuition. So Lee and Berkshire Hills are both reflecting a 4% increase in tuition costs. The special needs non-public out-of-district placements reflects a decrease of $84,430 due to a student leaving a program, and our available circuit breaker of $9,722 will also be used to offset the cost for that expense line. And the special needs public out-of-district placements reflects a decrease of $47,358, which is due to two students leaving programs as well. Our total tuition expense for FY23 is $1,174,744, and that makes up 24.3% of our budget. Transportation. So our bus contract reflects an increase of $14,400, and that is due to the daily rate being increased from $317 to $333 per bus per day. Special needs transportation has been decreased by $68,200 due to the fewer students I had mentioned in the previous slide. And total transportation costs total $399,677, which makes up 7.5% of our budget. School lunch. So our expenses for the school lunch are $63,187 for salaries, $42,000 for food, and $6,000 for supplies, bringing the total expenses to $111,187. We are projecting a reimbursement from the federal government of $37,000, from the state of $800, and local receipts of $22,000, requiring a subsidy of $51,387 from the general fund to balance that account for the year. Our capital expenses for next year, we have budgeted $50,000 to fix the gym ceiling, $14,000 for exterior doors, which is going to include replacing the recess door, the pre-K door, and the loading dock, one of the loading dock doors, and repairing the door in for kindergarten. Also includes a new carpet cleaner of $6,270. That totals $70,270, and that makes up 1.5% of our budget. So as a summary, as you can see, the cafeteria subsidy is 1.1% of the budget, capital expenses 1.5%, compensation is 39.2%, employee health insurance 10.3%, retiree health insurance 3.5%, tuition 24.3%, transportation 7.5%, utilities 1.6, leaving a balance of 11.2 for all the other items in the budget. Our revenues. So our excess and deficiency fund was certified at $237,660. $200,000 of those funds are being used to offset the assessments in fiscal 23. Chapter 70 reflects an increase of $110,861. Transportation aid reflects a decrease of $76,021. The operating ratios have been recalculated based on the assessments, and it continues to reflect a shift towards Sandusfield. The total assessment for Otis reflects a 14.39% increase, which is equal to $286,117. And this includes $260,315 of an increase to required local contribution. And for Sandusfield, it's a 4.99% increase, which equates to $72,492. And $41,169 is the increase to required local contribution for Sandusfield. So just to look at our state aid in total, of the total budget of $4,841,470, Chapter 70 aid is $612,111, regional transportation aid, $226,979. So the total state aid is $839,090, and that makes up 17.33% of the budget. If we look at all of the revenues coming in, we add in what we just discussed, as well as the E&D small amount, $2,000 for interest and fees, and the assessments totals to the two towns. We'll say that Chapter 70 aid makes up 12.6% of the budget. E&D makes up 4.1%. Interest and fees is negligible. Regional transportation aids is 4.7%. The Otis assessment is 47%. And the Sandusfield assessment is 31.5%. of the budget. So looking at the trends of the minimum local contribution, I just put up the past 5 years. And as you can see, Otis is in blue, Sandusfield is in red. So over the past 5 years, the Otis has seen an increase of $124,464. And again, most of that being just is just from the current year. And Sandusfield is showing a $118,588 increase over the 5 years. And just to remind everybody, minimum local contribution is determined by the state, and it is based on local property values, resident income, and number of students. And they have a very complicated equation to figure that out. And just looking at enrollments by town over the past few years, you can see that Otis did have a little tick up this year, but still on a downward trend. And Sandusfield, is the increase is slowed down, but it is still increasing overall. And just to break out enrollment by the where students are going or where they break down as far as in the district, as you can see, the blue represents our elementary students. The red represents elementary students that have choiced out of our district. The green represents the middle and high school students that are tuitioned to Lee and Great Barrington. And then the choice, the purple represents the choice school choice for middle and high school out of the district. And then the blue represents out of district placements. And all of these numbers are based on the October reporting. So it doesn't reflect where we're at right now. And now just to look at the history of the assessments. As you can see, back in fiscal 21, the split was 40.9 to 59.1. And FY22, it changed to 42.4 to 57.6. And then for the current year we're looking at, it's 42.7 to 57.3. So again, you can see the slow, and granted, the increase did slow down this year, but there's still, shift is still increasing towards Sandusfield. So now I want to look at the capital budget assessment. So our operating budget is divided based strictly on enrollment, whereas the capital budget is split 50% based on equalized valuation and 50% based on enrollment. So as of right now, the Department of Revenue has not yet released fiscal 21 equalized valuations. So we have to continue using the numbers from last year, which, as you can see, shows a split of 73.32% to Otis and 26.68% to Sandusfield. So if we look at the equalized valuation, you'll see that of the half of the project, which is the $35,135, Otis has $25,761, and Sandusfield makes up $9,374. And then when we look at the enrollment percentages, Otis makes up $20,135 and Sandusfield $15,000. So if we go over to the right side, you can see that the total of the capital budget, Otis is taking on $45,896 and Sandusfield has $24,374. So now, and I apologize for this next slide, there's just an enormous amount of information, but now to look at the total assessment. So as you can see in the top right corner in the green box, you can see the equalized valuation and the enrollment assessments broken down. So we'll just walk through this. So for FY23, the total budget is $4,841,470. We're going to deduct the transportation budget of $399,677 and the capital budget of the $70,270, leaving $4,371,523 to be assessed to the towns. Then we look at the revenues of Chapter 70 for $612,111, the E&D utilization of $200,000, the bank interest of $1,000 and local fees of $1,000. So our total anticipated revenues of $814,111, leaving a balance of $3,557,412 to be assessed to the towns. We then deduct the required local contribution. So for Otis, that is $1,370,021. And for Sandusfield, $861,252. So that's going to leave a balance of $1,326,139 to be assessed. And then that amount, we're going to apply our enrollment percentages. So that is going to mean $759,987,000 for Otis and $566,152 for Sandusfield. Next, we move on to the transportation. And here we broke transportation down a little bit. So you can see the regular transportation of $367,677 and special needs transportation of $32,000 for the total of $399,677. Then we're going to deduct our regional transportation aid of $226,979, leaving a balance of $172,698 to be assessed. And again, we're going to apply our enrollment percentages to that, leaving Otis with $98,970 and Sandusfield with $73,728. So the total operating and transportation assessments to Otis is $2,228,978 and to Sandusfield, $1,501,132. Then we're going to add in our capital budget amounts from the prior slide, leaving with total annual assessments to Otis of $2,274,874, which is a 14.39% increase, which equates to $286,117 of an increase. And then Sandusfield for a total of $1,525,506, which is a 4.99% increase of $72,492. Next, I just wanted to show the assessment history over the past 5 years. So you can see that Otis has been decreasing. And while Sandusfield did have a bump up a little bit, it's down again this year compared to the past few years, but it is still up compared to 5 years ago. So there's still an overall increase trend. So that was everything that I wanted to share with everybody. But unfortunately, there is a little caveat to this entire presentation now. As of yesterday, we did receive the tuition agreement from Lee for next year. And it did increase significantly more than anticipated. And Tom, our superintendent, has already gone back to the superintendent of Lee to start negotiations into why the increase was so significant and to work on seeing how we can make it a little bit more reasonable. I recalculated the budget based on those numbers that Lee did provide to us, and that would represent an increase to the budget of $50,751. And how that would equate to the assessments, just so everyone's clear, is the Otis assessment would increase by an additional $29,085, and Sandusfield's assessment would increase by $21,666. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. So as we progress through this process, if that does change, nobody's surprised by it. But that did get sprung upon us as of yesterday. But better yesterday than a week from now. So we will keep everybody posted as we go through that process. And then that is the end of the presentation. So now we can open up to questions, and just bear with me a moment so I can stop sharing my screen. And okay, so now that we're done with that, we'll start taking questions. So Roger's iPhone, would you please unmute yourself, let us know who you are, and ask your question.
Okay, so thank you, Eric. It's Roger Brown. I'm the chair of the Sandusfield Finance Committee. And I actually do have quite a few questions here, as I think most people knew that I was prepared for this. So I don't want to do a long preamble, but I did want to acknowledge my appreciation for all the members of the school committee, is the administration, the teachers, the employees, the volunteers for the dedication of the school. I also acknowledge the fact that there are a lot of Sandersfield residents who work for the school and make it the best possible. So I just wanted to start off with that. But it is my responsibility to carefully review the budget, as it represents nearly 50% of the town of Sandersfield's annual expenses. And so my questions may be a bit direct and pointed. I just don't want to waste anyone's time with that. But the purpose is to make sure that I can provide a recommendation to the Sandersfield town residents at the annual meeting. I also want to appreciate Jennifer Hibbins, who has been working through a pile of questions and comments on my behalf so we can move as swiftly as possible. So I'm not going to address the questions to Eric. I am going to address them to the school committee, specifically to Carol. Carol, it's fine if you want to ask if others answer the questions, but I'll consider those answers as coming from the committee, because the committee owns this budget. And I want to make sure that I'm addressing it to the owners and not to their delegates. So I have 9 areas I want to cover for those that want to track through this. And first of all, the first question I have really, while I understand we're talking about the 2023 budget, I do need to go back to last year because it specifically the topic is vocational education. And in last year's budget, and perhaps in prior years too, the town of Sandersfield was not aware of the fact that there was a process change where expenses were shifted from the district to the towns for vocational education and transportation. Last week, actually this past Saturday, we had a special town meeting to deal with the bills associated with 2022 vocational education that was presented to the town by the districts, which we were unaware. So we had to go back to the town to approve. So the questions are, first of all, when and how was this process change actually communicated to the towns? Carol? I'm sorry, Carol, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just had to unmute myself.
Sorry.
Eric, can you answer that question?
I sure can. So this process was changed, I believe it was 2 years prior to not last year's budget, but the year previous to that. So the current year we are in is the second year that we've been using that process. It was discussed at length during the discussions of the budget that everybody the whole school committee was aware of that at that time, and we'd have to go back and look at the minutes to see exactly how many times the conversation was had, but it was explained greatly. The reason it was changed is as I've been training for the position, as I was getting my license for the position and taking the classes, it was brought to my attention that is an expense that should be on the town side, not on the school district side. And there was a whole discussion with the school committee about shifting that. And I apologize for the town not knowing, but it was an open discussion.
Okay, so it wasn't discussed in the last budget meetings for 2021 that I was a part of, as well as last year's. So I was just interested, was there any communication to the town of this change?
So there wasn't, it might not have been discussed last year. And if so, it was brought up briefly, but it was talked about extensively for the year prior. And I don't know that anything was communicated specifically to the towns, but at the time that the change was made, there weren't any vocational students in Sandersfield. And there were some students, vocational students in Otis, and the town was made aware of that and was able to budget for it on time.
Okay. Well, I've gone back to my notes and I didn't hear it at all in the previous discussion. So that's why I was surprised. Are there any process changes that you're aware of in this particular budget that are similar to that one?
None that I can think of at the moment, no.
Okay. And in the future, just so we make sure this doesn't happen again, what is going to be the process for communicating any of these process changes to the towns? And again, I'm really addressing this to Carol. If you want Eric to complete this, that's fine. But I just want to make sure the school committee feels that they have a responsibility to communicate these changes to the town so we're aware of them.
Eric, do we have a means of communication?
As of right now, no, but if we're ever making these changes, we can easily send a letter to the towns making them aware.
I'd like that to be codified. So because, I mean, we went to the town saying that this was an all-inclusive number, and it turned out it was not. And that was both the select board as well as the finance committee. So I'm a little embarrassed to the town that we represented it one way and it was not complete. So I don't want to get caught out twice.
Okay.
Well, so I'll have that as a follow-up.
So Carol, can I address that really quickly?
Sure.
So, but I would like to make sure that we're all clear that the moment I was notified there was going to be a student in the town of Sandersfield, a vocational student, I did communicate that via email to the town manager at the time. And I tried to make it very clear to her what the implications were, the expense of the tuition, and that transportation would need to be included in that number as well.
Yeah, I understand, Eric. The warrants were already prepared. That was 3 days before our annual town meeting. So that was far too late for us to do anything about. And, you know, in terms of whether that email was actually received, we have no record of that. So I don't want to go back. I just want to make sure that we don't have that problem in this budget or anyone in the future. So shall I go on to the next piece?
Yes.
So in terms of there's a column that's in the budget presentation having to do with full year 22 projected. Does what part, if any, does that play in terms of the budget development for full year 23?
Eric?
Only in columns that it can be used for accurate projections, as in electricity cost, oil cost, stuff like that. As far as tuition and other numbers that are dependent on enrollment, we use enrollment numbers and a separate set of projections for those numbers. But those FY23 numbers are only used in so far as how they would be useful.
Okay. So let's take this as a follow-up too. For any of the FY22 projections that end up with a result in the FY23 budget, I need some detail as to how those projections were developed, because it's unclear to me how those projections relate to either where we are right now or from an expense point of view. And if they are driving this, then I'd like to understand how that's a part of it. Because it's unclear to me right now. I also would like to point out there seems to be what appears to be an error in FY22 projected for special needs education that dropped $100,000. So I just would, if it's important, special needs high school education shows up as $11,500 on this document, and it's $108,000 the year before and $102,000 the year afterwards. So if you said it's not driving that, but I just wanted to point that out. But I would like to go back to the ones that actually, if you could go through and highlight which ones actually drive numbers to the 2023 budget, I need more information to understand how they do drive that.
So I'm not going to be able to do that right here on the spot. But
no, I understand. That's okay. A follow-up. Let's just take that as a follow-up.
And then also, well, is that a question I could also get you to email me with, just to make sure that I can understand exactly what you're asking for, to make sure that I'm not going to put together information that's not what you need?
So I'll make it really simple, and hopefully I don't have to do an email on this, because I've done several already that haven't been reviewed. And that is, for any line item where the FY 2022 projection is driving the budget number for FY23, I would like to know how that FY22 projection was derived. That helpful?
Yes, how the FY22 projection was derived.
Exactly. Because if that number is driving FY23, I need to understand why that FY20, how it was derived.
Okay. Yep.
So transportation. There's a, in FY22, there's a $240,000 transfer to revolving, to regional revolving. Now, I've discussed this a couple of times, but I just really want to be really clear why the $240,000 is being transferred in the current year to a revolving budget, taken out of expense and moved into revolving.
So the way that regional transportation, state aid, and the revolving account work is the state aid that we get in any fiscal year, we are allowed to carry over to the following fiscal year to apply those funds. So, but when we do that, we have to record it as an expense. And that's why you're seeing it show up in the projected, but not in the budgeted. Because until the school committee makes that vote and approves it, it's not done.
Okay, so that 240 has not been approved by the school committee as yet?
Correct.
Okay, so, but it's showing in the budget?
Well, it's showing in the FY22 projected, yes.
Okay, but it is then... would it be showing in the revenue associated or the regional transportation? I see it as part of the revolving accounts, and that 240 is moving over, but the 303 from the prior budget.
That's going to get applied to this year. So the 303 that was transferred into that account in FY21, you can carry it over 1 year. So we're going to be required to offset the budget this year with those dollars.
Okay. The problem, I've got several concerns about this. One is, this is a transportation reimbursement account. It's not a revolving account, according to the regulations. And one would expect that you would see, the transportation aid money being exactly the same amount that we had received, but it's not. So there's a 303 showing for full year 23 budget, yet what was received was actually $276,000. So it was $26,000 less than the 303. I'm a little perplexed as to why I wouldn't be able to prove out that number, because there's only one in and one out, right?
Correct. But so last year, the school committee voted to transfer that money into that account. So because we had to revise the budget so many times, I know that we have that $303,000 this year.
But it's different than the exact amount that we received last year.
No, I thought we received $303,000 last year. I'll have to look that up, but if I'm not mistaken, that's what we received last
year. Okay, so the way it's supposed to work is that indeed that amount was supposed to be exactly equal to what we received in state aid, correct?
No, it can be no more than. So it could be up to the amount we received in state aid. And if I'm remembering correctly, we received just over that amount in state aid.
Okay. So I apologize for, maybe I'll drop as I just want to make sure that I get to all of my other questions without torturing everyone on this. I'm kind of surprised at that. But in any case, let me take a look at it again, because it should be the exact same amount. But in any case, there's also in an FY20 through actual a van purchase for $41,722.15. This was not a budgeted item in full year 22. I have gone through and I have not seen, and this is to Carol, really, I've not seen the two-thirds vote that would be needed to actually approve a budget amendment, as this was not a budgeted item. It wasn't like we were adding to teacher salaries or subtracting from it. And this requires a two-third vote by the committee.
I don't know why that amount was expended. We would have to go back in the minutes because I believe we did approve that.
Well, it's not in the minutes. I've looked at all of them. So if you can point out where that is in the minutes, I would appreciate that.
Okay.
Because it would require a two-thirds vote of the committee. All right. So there's a line item which is called under capital expenses, which is called the repaving project. Now, you've just enlightened me that actually that's not just a repaving project. It's actually the gym ceiling is what's in the budget for 2023. Is that correct? Gym ceiling as well as doors.
Yes.
Okay. The amounts that were the reason I'm interested in this is because this was actually a complicated transaction because that was it was budgeted in this year's budget for $100,000, yet actually the work was commenced back in 2022 and nearly complete in 2022. And I understand that it was for $273,000. How was that expense paid?
Are we talking about paving?
Yes.
Eric, do you have those figures?
Yep. So $100,000 was came out of the capital budget line. $160,000 came out of the capital improvement revolving account, or the capital stabilization account. And then the balance of $13,000, the school committee decided that the budget would be adjusted later in the year to account for that $13,000.
Okay, so let me just go back and make sure I understand that. So that's $100,000 out of full year, fiscal year 22, out of the amount that was budgeted, $160,000 out of capital stabilization back in full year 20, fiscal year 21. Is that correct?
No, it was all in fiscal year 22.
So it was all expense out of fiscal year 22. Okay. And then there was $13,000, which that would either be cured through an excess and deficiency aspect. Okay. And again, Carol, I have the question about where are the minutes that show this two-thirds vote?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, there's an extraordinary maintenance item, which is in the general fund, for basically the same things that were in the capital expense. That seems like a complete double count to me. So there's $100,000 and $64,000, $100,000 for this year and $64,000 for next year, that is both in the expenses as well as in the capital expense. So if you go to the previous, I've printed my copy out. If you go to the previous and you look at your capital expenditure total, you'll see an extraordinary maintenance of 100, shows 113, which I think is that 13 difference that Eric was talking about. And then a $64,000 expense in FY23, yet you also have it as part of this capital expense. That seems like a complete double count.
So it's not that it's double counted. I was going to check with our auditors to make sure that I had that accounted for correctly. It's not it's not counted in two places. And I was going to speak with the auditors to make sure that I had those numbers going into the correct account.
So are you telling me that it's not in this? It not in the total of total expenses? And it is not in capital expenses going into the assessment worksheet?
Well, if you look at the assessment worksheet, again, at the top, you'll see where I back out the capital expenses.
Okay. Okay. So why? Okay. So you're going to check with the auditors about the correct way, but it should be only in one place or the other, correct?
Correct. Yes, it will only be in one place. It is only accounted for once as of right now. And once I check with the auditors, I'm going to make sure that it is in the correct place and only in one place.
Okay. But right now it's showing in two places, but the way that you accommodate for that is actually backing it out of the assessment worksheet.
Correct.
Okay. So our operating expenses on the, for the general fund or capital expenses, and I think my vote would be the general fund actually should be reduced by the amounts that you have budgeted here. But you're checking with the auditor on that.
I agree with you. I just want to make sure it's the auditor's making that decision and not me.
Okay. So looking at revenues, there's $96,932 in school choice revenue, which is not included in this budget. It's on the cherry sheets. You have picked up two other items, which are the chapter, the transportation aid and the chapter 70 off of those same cherry sheets, but the $96,000 for school choice, which is state funds, which are sent to the school, are not included on this.
I apologize. I can add that in.
Yeah, because that would increase the revenue and reduce the assessment.
No, actually, it would not. It would not.
Please tell me how that would work.
Well, because those school choice funds go into the school choice revolving account, which does not affect the assessments.
Okay, that is a decision of the school committee.
Correct.
It is not, do not recharacterize revenue, because it is revenue to the schools, and then the school committee may make a decision about what they do. So I would, it absolutely should adjust, should be adjusted, because the school committee has not voted about funds that have not yet been received to move them. Mm-hmm. So they should be included in revenue, just as all the other items on the cherry sheet should be included in revenue. Well,
and I apologize for them not being on the worksheets, but they were part of the conversation with the school committee, with them, me giving them the full information of how to use the utilization of those funds and how E&D and school choice was utilized. Okay. There was a whole specific conversation about that.
That's fine, but was there a vote? I mean, how could they vote on the something that hasn't been received in yet to actually move it off balance sheet in terms of the revenue side of it, to say that the revenue doesn't exist? The revenue exists. It's coming in.
It does exist. And again, that was part of the conversation before the school committee did vote on this budget. And that's how we end up with the $138,000 remaining in the school choice revolving fund based on these numbers for the end of the year. Those numbers are in that projection.
Okay. So, I have to admit, I'm really, I'm not in agreement with the way that this is done. I think that you're missing $96,000 for the revenue. The impact of that revenue would reduce the assessments to the town. And I dispute the fact that you don't have it on here and that it's frankly, not transparent. I would say too, that there is a big issue associated with this. That is the fact that the treasurer should be receiving these. Who is the treasurer for the Farmington River School District?
Jane Gleason is the treasurer.
Does Jane Gleason play any role in the school administration?
Nope.
How long has she held this position?
I think about 2 years, but I'm also confused because this conversation is supposed to be strictly about the budget.
And it is strictly about the budget, because the treasurer should be receiving these funds, not the business manager. And the treasurer needs to be independent of the school district administration. And Jane Gleason's, at least either she's got this wrong, but it shows she's in the administration of the school district on her LinkedIn profile. So I would like to understand, and let me just keep going. The treasurer should be receiving these items. The treasurer has many responsibilities, and many of them have not been fulfilled. And they specifically have to do with things such as she should be receiving and taking charge of all monies belonging to the district, including the revenue associated with the school choice revenue. She should be providing an annual report to the towns according to the requirements of Section 16K, including a detailed financial statement, including the stabilization accounts balances and all additions and withdrawals from the stabilization accounts. That has never been provided. She's supposed to do any assessments of the excess and deficiency balances that change the assessments. Eric has been providing them and not the treasurer. She should be certifying, providing to the towns the budget assessments. That has not been done by the treasurer. So we need a treasurer. And if she is performing these functions and she is completely independent of the school district and she is qualified, that's fine. But she's not been doing this. And I think there would be a change in terms of specifically the revenue I was talking about if I was talking to the treasurer, who apparently is not on this call.
No, she
is not. There's a deficiency there. And as far as I'm concerned, the $96,000 of revenue, which is not on this budget, is a problem. It's going to be a problem in terms of trying to represent this budget fairly. Okay, I'll go on to the next point because I think I've beaten that to death. The capital stabilization account, that appears to be at zero currently. Now, what Eric just told me was that capital stabilization account, and by the way, all stabilization accounts should be part of that annual report as well, showed a beginning of year 120, apparently 160 came out of it somehow, and now it's showing a zero in 23. A point is we need a reporting of all those additions and withdrawals, and that is supposed to be part of the annual report that the treasurer is supposed to provide by law. So I would like the treasurer, if she is suitable and independent of the school district, because that is also a Massachusetts law requirement, to provide us with the additions and withdrawals from the capital stabilization account and any other stabilization accounts. I'll mark that as a follow-up. Let's go to school choice. So I've listened in to many of the school committee meetings, and I've heard that school choice funds are limited to expenses that directly support the educational expenses of students. And I've also heard in response to some questions that with some maneuvering, it could be potentially used for other purposes. Well, I don't find that consistent with the regulation of school choice. It says that according to, and I could quote the section, it can only be used for covering expenses incurred with the education of such non-resident students. Not resident students. So I don't know how the committee gets comfortable with a practice which seems inconsistent with the regulations associated with using school choice in a revolving account. Carol, I don't know how the committee is comfortable with that. And I would also like to see the school committee's approvals from any transfers out of school choice revolving, which is actually a reimbursement fund, because the way that it works is that school choice is actually paid by the state, not by the schools that actually are, you know, choicing out. The state collects that, and then they reimburse us for the expenses associated, the additional expense associated with these non-resident students. I just don't know how the school committee is comfortable with the operation of school choice, where it is, you know, a fund that could be used for several purposes. It should be one purpose, and that is the education of those non-resident students. I think you should take a look at that. I do think my suggestion would be, and I actually think I would like to put a solution, at least offer a solution, that consistent with the way that other school districts, such as Southern Berkshire, do, is to take 100% of the school choice revenue that the school district receives and reduce your capital budget. Now, I understand that you would like to have the flexibility of having, you know, funds available for lots of other things. I mean, the apocryphal boiler that may go out and all that. I think you could take the same amount out of the general fund for budget purposes and build back up your capital stabilization fund. So there would be net no change to the resources available, but we would get away from using the school choice account for something that is problematic. And I don't believe it's consistent with the regulations. I also think that you should take a look at a very specific DESE regulation, which says that revolving and reimbursement funds should not be included in the budget. So specifically what we're doing in terms of adding school choice revolving funds is specifically shown as something that should not be done to the budget, that they should be provided as informational information for informational purposes only to the school committee, and they should not be included in the budget. So I think you can solve many problems without diminishing the resources that I know the school committee wants to make sure that they have stabilization for both issues associated with boilers, which you can have in capital stabilization, and budget for that and increase your capitalization table for the same amount that you have taken in terms of school choice. And I think you can look at E&D for the, you know, hypothetical special needs student who shows up. I am not reducing the resources that you have, but I do believe that you've got them in the wrong place, and school choice has stopped being an untransparent and I think troublesome and problematic area of budgeting. And I think it's also made a little bit more complicated because, again, if school choice is supposed to be used to provide a reimbursement for the cost of these out-of-district students, the method that this budget is put together, which is basically assumes that those students carry no additional cost because it was built basically with the idea that you're going to fully fund the school, that those students have no additional cost. How can you say that you're using it to pay for the expenses of out-of-district students if indeed there are no expenses associated with those out-of-district students? I think it solves that problem for you too. And I don't think that it reduces your resources. So I think you seriously should consider that.
Okay.
All right. I have one more point, and then I think you'll be glad that I'm gone. I will go back and make sure that we have all of the follow-ups on this. We talked about enrollment numbers. As you can see, the trends in enrollment are flat to down. I also have the class sizes, and the, you know, classes are very small. And I wanted to ask the school committee, at what point will you consider alternatives to the current school model? Is there a specific enrollment level? Is there a specific class size level? Is there a trigger, or is there no trigger for you to take a look at the model and say that perhaps it's a school district with too few students in elementary school to support the infrastructure?
I don't think we have looked at that, but that is something we will look at.
Okay, I appreciate it. And if there is that, because I just want to make sure I don't get a question that I can't answer, I will say that it is something that's being considered.
Yes.
Okay. So the follow-ups I have, and I know you're all probably very glad I'm finished, is that we'll talk about if process around any changes that are sort of like the vocational education, how the town gets communicated, and I don't want to speak only for Sandusfield. You know, this has to work for Otis as well if there are changes. I do have a follow-up in terms of with Eric about those items that had a full year projected that drove the 2023 budget number, which ones they are, and how were those full year projections derived. I'll go back and on myself, and I will drop my issue if I can reconcile the transportation reimbursement numbers. I will ask that we please go back and take a look to find the authorization for the van purchase. That's back in, it says an actual of 2022, but I believe it was actual of 2021. I don't see a vote of the committee. The expenses paid. Okay, Jim Doors, you're checking with audit in terms of what we need, what, you know, how capital expense should be for the gym floor, gym ceiling and the doors for 2023, how that should be put in. School choice, I would like for you to think about this, but I am still believe that there's $96,932, which is missing as revenue to this budget. And then, you know, if you could get back to me, or if you've decided that that's what you're going to stick with, just know that that's an item of that I will probably recommend that we do not fund in Sandusfield. Capital stabilization, I do suggest that you increase that and offset that by taking 100% of the school choice revenue against the budget revenue. It's a wash, and I think you should have a capital stabilization account. I think that makes good sense. We've talked about school choice. You know what my perspective is on that. Please understand that I am very serious about the concerns in terms of the performance of the treasurer right now, not fulfilling their obligations under the law. They need to refresh themselves and what they're responsible for, including providing an annual report to the towns. And that report should have a detailed financial basis, and it should also have every withdrawal or addition to a stabilization account. It's very clear in other school districts. It should not be unclear here. And with that, I will leave it. And Carol, I do think, you know, that you are, you know, considering trigger points or at what point the committee will consider alternatives to the current model.
I will.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Yep, the next person up is Carl Nett. Please unmute yourself and speak.
I think I am unmuted. Eric, I just want to go back quick to the vocational student thing, because I think implicit in Roger's questions was a question that wasn't asked explicitly. For fiscal year 23, when do you think the towns would have information from the school relative to how many vocational students we're going to have and where they're going to school, so we can pin down the budget numbers for our town budgets, you know, consistent with that? Because we'll have to include in a line item to be voted on in the annual town meeting. So can you give a sense of when you think the school could provide us with that information for fiscal year 23? Can you provide it enough in advance of the annual town meeting where we could actually include a warrant item and vote on that?
So it all depends on when students apply for vocational school. And as soon as they notify us that they're applying, then we know. Then my habit has been to immediately notify the towns. So it's dependent upon when the application process goes through.
And when is that? When has that been typically, Eric? In other words, what I'm asking is there any chance we would be able to get that information enough in advance of the town meeting to be able to add that item to our budget in the town?
I'll have to look into the specific regulations on that. It's possible, but I don't know when the end date is for those applications.
Eric, usually it's July, August, so it is late for the vocational schools. The students have to be accepted into the schools, so it tends to be later rather than earlier.
Okay.
This is Jess, by the way.
Yeah. But you see the dilemma that creates for the towns relative to their budget planning process for the upcoming year, Eric. We got to try and figure out some way to handle that so we get the town's information for the vocational expense, given that they pay that directly.
Well, I agree, but unfortunately it's out of the district's control.
I think the only way that you could do that would be to ask the students within your town if they have any expectation of going into vocational schools ahead of time, okay. Because I know you can make only from personal experience. I know you can make that decision right up till the last moment.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next person I believe is Brandy.
Hello. This is Brandy Page, town administrator in Otis. I wanted to thank the school committee for all their hard work, and thank you, Eric, for putting together the presentation. As far as the vocational, we have no complaints. We felt like you've communicated to us when you needed to. And we've learned that we just have to budget for that. It's taken us a couple years. We've built up a good budget for that vocational line. If there's years we don't use it, we don't use it, but we've made a buffer there, because as you've said, we're not going to know until July or August if there's students that are going into the vocational schools. So it's late, it's after town meeting, and that's the way we've learned to adjust for it. But we feel your communication with Otis has been fine, and we appreciate that very much.
Okay. Arlene, please unmute yourself and speak up.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. Do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm also wondering, I know that oftentimes we have special needs students that come in. I'm not exactly sure how early they come in. They may even come in at the end of the summer. So how is that built into the budget? Because we must have some kind of cushion for that as well. So, I mean, there are some things that are just not all that clear cut at the current moment, which I think means you need to have cushion in the budget for things like that.
So that is what the END has been, that's what we have held the END funds for, was in case there are move-ins, because move-ins, there is no schedule for them. They can happen at any point in the year.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? As of right now, there are no hands up. Oh, wonderful. Paul and Alicia, please unmute yourself, announce yourself, and ask your question. Nope. Put your hand down.
No. Okay. There we go. Now, finding the right little box, you know, but I Zoom all day. You think I'd be good at it. This is Paul on Alexia. She's putting our child to bed. I just noticed something that I'm curious if you have ideas of historical trends in the state reimbursement for transportation seemed to go down quite a bit this year. Is that just because last year was special, or is that just it wiggles a lot? I'm wondering if you can speak to how that works into the budgeting process.
Sure. So the state provides what they call cherry sheets, which is the estimates of what we're going to be getting in those funds. The reason why last year's was so high is because the school committee voted to amend the budget so many times during as we went through the year, especially because of the END funds that we had to return, that I was able to apply the amount that was transferred into that account in the prior year. So that's why it looks like there's such a decrease from last year,
okay.
Or from current year to next year. Alex, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, it's more of a comment than a question. I just wanted to say first, thank you, school committee. I appreciate your work. It's not easy, especially when we have two towns with very different financial realities. You know, we all want what's best for our kids. We all want to be proud of our school. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of comments from Sandusfield and very into the deep weeds of what this budget is. And I think it's just, I want to explain a little bit about why that is. So I just made a few charts, and I'm going to do this a little bit on the old fashioned way rather than sharing my screen. I'm going to show you a chart. So this is the school assessment between Otis and Sandusfield. These numbers are a little bit outdated, but it shows that, you know, Sandusfield's assessment is about 67% of Otis's assessment. But however, one of the key differences about Otis and Sandusfield is our total assessed value of our towns, which is what drives our tax rates. So Otis's total assessed value is $699 million, while Sandusfield is $255 million. And what that really relates to is our average tax bills. Sandusfield's average tax bill is $3,654, which is 129% of Otis's average tax bill. And it's great. I think Otis has one of the top 10 lowest tax rates in the state, I read today. Congratulations on that. But I just want people to realize that these budget and why Sandusfield is so into these budget numbers is because these affect our residents and our taxpayers a lot more than Otis taxpayers. So I just hope that moving forward, I hope everyone can take this into consideration when thinking about the budget process. And thank you again for listening, and thank you for your commitment.
Roger, please unmute yourself and speak.
Yeah, and this will be very quick. I took advantage of the time and I was listening in, but Eric, I did go through the transportation aid for full year 19, 20, 21, and 22. They do not match the state numbers. So yes, I need for you to help me understand why those numbers are different. The only one that matches is FY23 budget. They're not equal to previous years.
I will get that information to you.
Okay, thank you.
Roger, go ahead. Sorry. No, your hair just went down. So are there any other questions? Because right now there is no hands raised. Okay. So with that, I'll turn the meeting back over to Carol. Oh, you're muted, Carol.
I said that concludes our school committee budget meeting. Teresa, can you take a roll call to adjourn?
Yeah. Okay. Jess Dranga?
Yes.
Roger Kohler?
Yes.
Deb Bogle?
Yes.
Jennifer Hibbins?
Yes.
Carl Nett?
Yes.
Arlene Tilapko?
Arlene, you're muted.
You're muted, Arlene.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And Carol Lombardo?
Yes.
Okay, unanimous.
Thank you all. And we'll get back with some of these answers, and we'll see you at the next school committee meeting.
Thank you.